Look, even though HeroStuffBro.com is about to make a couple of changes in the next week or month or so, you can still check it out. Still check it out. Check it out and you'll see. You'll see the changes. I'm trying to hook up with some people, but let's get into it. All right, let's do this a thing.
So I've been reading Nehemiah, right? I've been reading Nehemiah for the past, for the past weeks or so, in a week or so. And I've been reading it and reading it. And a couple of things that stood out to me about Nehemiah. And I wrote down notes so I can keep up, you know. So it's four things that stood out to me. So when Nehemiah heard that the walls of Jerusalem, or the temple walls of Jerusalem were tore down, he was genuinely heartbroken. And you can see some of his prayer that he prayed to the Lord. So his heart was broken and he prayed, and you can see some of his prayer in Nehemiah 4 and 11. And I'm gonna just read some parts of it. It says, and I said, O Lord God of heaven, great and awesome God who keeps covenants, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. And this is what he's saying. Some parts he talks about, he's like, now I pray before you day and night for your people. So he was praying for his people, and he was confessing the sins of his people. He was saying, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house has sinned. And that stood, and that pricked me, that pricked my heart, because Nehemiah wasn't just saying that they have sinned, other people have sinned. But when he saw the walls of the temple broke down, he realized that his sin is also contributed to that breaking down of the temple walls. Also contributed to that. And you can read the rest of it, Nehemiah chapter 1, 4 through 11. So the first thing that he did, he was genuinely heartbroken. The second thing that he did is he prayed to the Lord. So Nehemiah was heartbroken, immediately felt horrible, and then he took the responsibility on himself to pray to God, to align himself back up with God about what to do next. What is the next course of action? To plead with the Lord to give him a plan about what to do next. Thirdly, he took action. After Nehemiah prayed to God, he was able to present his case to the king. You can see this in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And it says, then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant is found favor in your sight, that you send him to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, so that I may rebuild it. So Nehemiah, when he heard the news, he didn't just sit down and chill out, right? He didn't just sit down and chill out, but he heard the news. He was genuinely heartbroken. Then he prayed to God that so he can align him. He confessed his sins to the Lord. He confessed what he was, what the people has fell short of. And he also confessed what he fell short of. And he asked God to forgive him and give him mercy and grace and keep us in all that stuff. Right. Then he took action. See, after he got permission from his boss to go, he asked, can he go rebuild? He took action, asked if he can go rebuild the wall, put up the walls, right? And this is Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. The fourth thing he did was command everyone. When he started building up the walls, you can read it, it was a whole lot of things that went down, but in the first couple of chapters, when he started building up the walls, he commanded people to take care of the areas that was in front of their houses, right? So the fourth thing he did was everyone took the section of the wall that was right in front of them. They rebuilt the section with the bigger picture in mind. So everyone was rebuilding a section, and then another person would take from that section and rebuild from their section, and boom, boom, boom. Like, so there was no gaps in between, right? They worked side by side, picking up where the other ones left off. They were working in unity. And you can read chapter 3 of Nehemiah to get all that in context. So what does this all have to do with biblical masculinity, James? This is Restoring Heroes Project. We talk about real biblical manhood in the counterfeit world. What are you talking about when you're talking about Nehemiah and building a wall? Look, I know that this is not a one-for-one comparison, right? I know it's not a one-for-one comparison to Nehemiah's story. But however, when I saw the walls of masculinity crumbled and in ruins, I was heartbroken. When I started this in 2014 and whatever, you could check out the videos, but Restoring Heroes Project on YouTube, you could check that stuff out and subscribe if you want to, but you could check it out. I saw the walls of masculinity broke down, tore down, right? And it was kind of disheartening to see that sometimes the capital letter church, not all of them, not everybody, but sometimes it seems like they were really passive on the downfall of masculinity of men, or the state, passive of the state of manhood, right? So I was heartbroken, and I knew that I had a part in, just like Nehemiah, not one for one comparison, please don't hear me say that, but just like Nehemiah, I knew that I had a part in the masculinity in the biblical masculinity wall falling down and crumbling. I had my part in it. So I really did pray for God to give me something. It was something I needed to do. I needed to do something. And that's how Restoring Heroes was birthed. That's how Restoring Heroes was birthed, right? I needed to do something to help build up the wall, right? And then I also, in my journeys and studying as much as I possibly can, I heard something like from Eric Thomas. He said, if you want to be a motivational speaker, well, you read everything about motivational speaking. But if you want to be something else, you read everything about that. I wanted to know as much about biblical masculinity as I can. So I read Tony Evans. I read Wild at Heart. I read Brian Tomey or Tome. Well, how you say his name? I can mispronounce his name. I read all these things to get as much knowledge about biblical masculinity. Then I ran into Doug Wilson. I ran into Cross Politic and David Chocolate Knox and Gabe the Waterboy and Toby Sumter and Canon Press. So I read books like Future Men and How to Exasperate Your Wife and the one about the being a your husband and wife work together to send the kids off and all those things. So I realized that they were building a wall and building a part of the wall for biblical masculinity in Idaho. And then Tony Evans, G. Craig Lewis, Tony Evans, Alfonso Rachel, Joe Prim. See, Alfonso Rachel, if you don't know about him, he's a political commentator, but he's also a strong Christian man. And he's building the wall. He's helped Tony Evans, G. Craig Lewis, all those guys are helped building the wall in Texas. Their part, doing their part in Texas, right? And then you have like my friend Jonathan West in Tennessee, a podcast called Being Husband, and he's helped building the wall. So I felt like I didn't feel so alone. I see there's people doing this thing, right? I'm getting to a point. And then you have Michael Foster and Non-Tenant or Dominic Tenant. I think Dominic Tenant is overseas, Michael Foster is in Batavia, Ohio, and you have my friend Michael Price, who's in Cincinnati, Ohio, with Joshua's Outpost, which is a blog and blog. And then you have the Brotherhood Challenge out of Xenia, Ohio, and then you have Restoring Heroes Project here out of Springfield, Ohio. And And then there was like so many other people that I saw, and this is what, this is encouraging to me, right? There were so many other people that I saw like on Twitter that I cannot name, but the Andrew Griffiths and all those guys, like there were so many people overseas that are doing, building the wall of biblical masculinity where they are, right? They're building it where they are and building as much as they can. They're all bringing their individual gifts with music and all that stuff, right? They're bringing it all where they are to build up the wall where they can see it in biblical masculinity. For biblical masculinity. And then we're all doing it in churches too. So it's not just we're doing our para ministries or different ministries offshoots of the church, but we're trying to do it. I'm trying to do it inside the church also. So I'm linking up with brothers inside my church to help the men to so I can have a brotherhood there too. So it's an amazing thing. Like I said, it's not a one-for-one comparison, but when I saw the state of masculinity. When I see they're trying to feminize men, they're trying to make it cool for boys to wear fingernail polish and dresses and make it cool for boys to have a sugar mama and have many, many girls and sexual promiscuity and all those things are cool. And they're socially accepted, even though the stats and figures say that they are detrimental to the health of the nuclear family. They are detrimental to the health of the young man that takes these things and put them under wings. They are destructive, but the world believes that it's okay. They take it and they embrace those dysfunctional behaviors like they are. That's real masculinity. And when I saw that, my heart was truly broken, but I was encouraged, and I'm continuing to be encouraged by so many men, even the 21 convention, even though they are co-belligerents, right? Even though they're not Christian organization, things like that, they are doing something. They see something. They might be overcorrected in some places, but they're seeing something that's going on, and they're building the wall where they are. They're building the wall where they are with whatever gifts they have, whatever talents they have, right? For the benefit of all, rebuilding where they are, for the goal of giving men godly tools. So it's good to be a man podcast, being husband podcast, Heroes Wanted podcast, Joe Prim. You have Blog and May Blog. You have Cross Politic. You have Alfonso Rachel's show, which is the Zoloft. You have that on bronzeserpentmedia.com. You have all these places that, and there's so many other more that I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's so many people building the wall where there are to build back. Not only the kingdom of God is forever. We don't need that build up, but we do need men and biblical masculinity and godly men built up. And these are resources for you to go and learn from men that are building up the wall where they are. And this is a little encouragement for you. If you see, for men who see, and this is for men who see the destruction of masculinity, you see it, and in your heart of hearts, you want to do something about it. You are burning to do something about it. You are burning. You got passion. You got something inside of you that it hurts, genuinely hurts to see the state of masculinity being broken down in such a way where that women can pretend to be men and it's okay, right? Or men can pretend to be women and it's okay. You see the state of the world as it is, and you're a Christian man, and you see it and you want to do something about it. I want to let you know, we need you. We need you. We need your art. We need your music, rap, rock, classical, piano. We need your music. We need your artwork, portraits, pictures. We need you all. We need all that artwork, blogs, podcasts, books, comic books, anything, lighting, production value. We need all that to help build up the wall where you are. wherever you are, we need you. We need you. There's, and more than that, there's room next to me. If you need a spot, there's room next to me. There's room next to me. And you can be right next to me. We can build this wall together. We can build this wall together. And this is the stuff that, this is what stood out to me in the first couple of chapters of Nehemiah, is the everybody working together to build the wall, to build the wall of the temple for Nehemiah, but everybody working together to build the wall of biblical masculinity. Will you join me? There's room. There's room. And that's all I gotta say about that, heroes. Until next time, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong out there. Peace. Oh yeah, and subscribe. And subscribe and stuff, because that's really important for you to subscribe. If you don't subscribe and stuff, then how we gonna know? And share with friends. Share with friends, how we gonna know? If you don't, you might be a